What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Heights Unedited Podcast, a podcast featuring real conversation about real life, where we dig deeper into the weekend message as well as answering your questions on faith, culture, and life. My name is Todd, aka Bald Eagle, and I'm here
with PJ. It's not true.
You got another name tag.
I don't know who you are.
I know. Well, that's why I had to tell everyone because they couldn't see
That was a really upbeat intro, though. I liked it.
I had to change up the pacing.
Yeah, you were peppy.
I know. I was like, you know, I read this every week. I got to say it a little different this time. So, yeah.
I'm waiting for the week you come in. You're just like sadness off of, what was that movie? The Inside Out.
Yeah.
You're just like super.
Well, that could be week one of the NFL season. We'll see how this happens.
Podcast featuring real conversation.
That could be what we get out of this 49ers team. Let me tell you.
You think you're nervous?
No, I think we have a good base. I'm nervous about our wide receivers still and how.
Okay, you lost Debo. Who'd you get?
We didn't really get anybody, so it's just. But we also have.
But you only had Debo part of the season.
Still
anyways.
Hurt, so we still have him.
He's still
coming
out?
Back. Yep.
Wow.
Purcell is hopefully going to be good this year, but hasn't done as much camp as we wanted him to because he was hurt as well. So it's like, man, we just have still the injury bug still hitting us, you know. So
you had a lot of injuries last year.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't even think you know who your team is because you had so many injuries.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like we don't know what we got.
I know. We'll see.
And the Steelers. I mean, we chatted about them a little bit, but it's so unknown.
Yep.
Like nobody knows what's going to happen with Mr. Rogers.
I mean, I have a couple of guesses.
I just hope it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood of Pittsburgh.
Well, all right. Well, we do want to thank all of our listeners.
I got you.
I'm like, you know what? We got to move on before everyone turns us off. So thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking with us. Still getting so many amazing comments from people when they see me about the impact the podcast has had on them. So thank you guys so much for that. Emails as well and YouTube comments. And all those things are so impactful to let us know that you appreciate the show. So thank you so much for that. John, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm a little tired from the weekend. A little tired. So vocally, I feel tired. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm good. I got nothing to complain about.
It was a good
hangout yesterday with the fam.
That's good.
The English Premier, this time of year, the English Premier League just kicked off.
Okay.
College football starts this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
NFL, 14 days? How many days is it? 18 days or something like that, right? And then F1 is back at the end of the month. I looked at Cindy yesterday. I'm like, so what are we going to do on the Sunday when all these things hit at
you
the same
to, you
Sunday?
You need to buy another TV. You have multiple TVs going at once, which is a dream. I mean, that's what you want. So
You know what I want? I don't know. I want a TV outside.
Oh, I've wanted one.
Like, just go sit on my patio, like, especially in fall.
Yeah.
And you're grilling and the TV's on. That has to be, like...
So nice.
High dream, for sure.
Don't know if I'll achieve that dream, but definitely high dream.
Somebody listening to this who knows how to do that, they should probably tell us how to do it.
Yeah. Should hook it up. Let a pastor have a TV outside.
If you don't have a roof, how do you have a TV outside? Did it just get ruined?
Yeah, you're
with
done.
The rain?
Yeah, you have to...
So I got to build a roof, too. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you got a long road ahead of you. It's got a lot more complicated. Definitely. Well, we do have some questions today that we are going to hop into, not just how to get John an outside TV, but more important questions that we have written in. Thank you guys so much for writing those in. Continue to write those in. I've said it the last couple of weeks, we're definitely running low. In fact, one of the questions we're answering today just came in this morning.
Whoa.
So,
hot off the press,
which is great, but continue to send those in, unedited@heightschurch.com. We would love to answer those questions. First question we have in is from Linda. Linda asks, I was raised to understand that in order to talk to God, I had to pray, and that was the only way to communicate. But as I've gotten older, I find I have more conversations than prayers. Because I'm alone, I talk to him constantly. Is this proper?
Ooh, is this proper?
Yeah.
Is it proper? What would it mean if it's not?
God won't listen.
Is proper like formal?
Yeah. Is this the right way?
Okay. So never mind. That's for later. I'll come back to that.
You're going off on a tangent.
I'm getting distracted. So here's what's interesting. I was listening to, it was a message Oh, it was from Red Rocks. And he was talking, it was towards the end of his message, and he was talking about the importance of saying your prayers out loud sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. he wasn't saying you can never, you know, pray internally, like, but he was saying that the importance of, like, when you speak it, it becomes more conversational mm-hmm. than sometimes in our head, it's more formal, right? And so just that idea of even like moving towards conversation, like the goal is that this is my father, right? Like and he referenced, I really appreciated it. He referenced his kid when he gets home, right? Like it doesn't matter. When his kid gets home and he's already home. I think that was the context. But like his kid walks in and just yells, "Dad."
Right.
Like it doesn't matter what dad is doing. Like yep. this is the most important person, moment, whatever, right? Like it's just this beautiful, like you're interruptible. You're not. Yeah. And so I think that idea of proper, and maybe that's where my brain went, like hearing the word proper, I think God's always trying to move us away from performance and mm-hmm. move us into intimacy. And like if I put it in a human context, the goal of like the deeper my relationships, the easier the conversation.
Yeah.
Right. Like it doesn't feel like work. And I think with God, it's kind of the same way where I think the longer you walk with God, and especially in a prayer life, the more those prayers become like a conversation because you know him so well and he knows you so well.
Yeah. I think the church has kind of put prayer in a box where prayer is a conversation. That's what it's supposed to be, is a conversation with God. But the box that the church has put prayer in for so long is so formal.
Yeah.
Right. So even just, is this proper? Is this formal? You know, and if it doesn't start with "Dear Heavenly Father," and it doesn't end with "Amen," in Jesus' name, amen, then it's not a prayer.
Yeah.
I was like in high school probably when I heard somebody pray for the first time, and that when they ended their prayer, they didn't end it in the formal amen. They said, "All right, talk to you later."
Yeah.
And I was like, "You can't do that." And he's like, "Then the Bible says pray without ceasing." And he's like, "So this is a conversation. This isn't an end of my conversation with him. This is a, like, hey, we'll talk in a little bit. Like, is it going to be a continued thing?" And it kind of like shifted, kind of shattered my box of what I thought prayer was. And it had to be in these formal times or this formal way. But it also just kind of shifted as like, no, it is a conversation. And when you're having a conversation with God, I think it takes the rules off of it. So you can have a conversation where maybe you're even frustrated with God. Right? Yeah. Oh, that seems like you can't do that. That's not a formal thing. Well, it's like, yeah, but if in a conversation you express the true things that are going on, instead of just faking it. So, you know, it spills into having conversations of frustration with God, having conversations of like telling him the true, like, man, I'm really struggling with this, God. The stuff that you normally wouldn't say in a formal conversation, I think walls are torn down when it becomes a little informal in that way. Still respecting God,
but
a little more informal.
Yeah. And I think like Jesus going away early in the morning, and it intentionally said he was praying. I don't think that was a formal, like Jesus got there and prayed in this formal, what I think he was just with his father, right? Mm-hmm. Like they were just having conversation. He was listening and talking. And I think, to your point, I think what's interesting with that, the language I heard for it was not hanging up the phone, mm-hmm. right? Like that you start a call and keep it going all day.
Yeah.
And I had the same kind of moment, like, oh, that's what it means to.
Yeah.
My problem is I get so distracted that if God really was on the phone, like I put it in my pocket and haven't remembered that I called him. I might as well butt dial him. That's what it feels like
sometimes when I call my wife and then the kids ask her questions.
Can you say that?
Butt dialing God. That's the name of the episode. Mr. Beard, can you put that up? No, but I think of this, like when I call my wife and then the kids ask her a question and then she's starts doing stuff with them. And I'm just like standing there holding the phone. And I'm like, hey, can you just call me back? Cause like,
I think one of the things that I'm noticing, like just generationally, right? Like my younger kids growing up with FaceTime, they get on FaceTime with their friends. And they're just hanging out. Like one of my daughter's friends lives in Wisconsin and they'll hang out on the phone for 8 hours. And it's not like they're talking the whole time, like holding a conversation. they're just doing their day and they're with each other.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
it's so weird.
I can't do that for anything. Right. Like, I go away and then Bailey wants to call me and just hang on the phone. And I'm like, okay, I gotta go.
I didn't realize how old I was until when we got back from the Dominican Republic. All of our students became friends with the Casa Misionera students. They're all young college age students. And then our students are older high school age. And we got in this group chat and I got thrown in the group chat too.
Oh man. It's
and so they would just FaceTime in the group chat. Right. And so then everyone So literally there's like maybe 15 people on this FaceTime call, but nobody's saying anything. They're all just like staring at each other. And I was like, I don't get it. What is like, I'm so confused right now. And like they kept doing it. And they're like, Todd, why aren't you getting on? I was like, cause you're not doing anything. I don't know how to handle it. So I'm old, but yeah I'm with you.
It's just such a different, I mean, culturally it's just different. Right. And then I think kind of back to the question, I think there's a beauty in, and you say I've gotten older. Like to me, that is even in relationship with God, like mm-hmm. this relationship is aged. And now like you find yourself alone and I think there's this real beauty to just an ongoing conversation with God. I know Cindy and I have been kind of processing. We read a book. I think you read it too. Read a book on prayer, but just something in her world that's changed is she started going for walks in the morning. And hopefully I'm not oversharing because this isn't edited. So here we go. But one of the things she loves is she just talks to God out loud on her walk. And she said like, it's helped her not be distracted. Like when she just sits and it's more in a formal quiet time sense that she's like, I just feel like I get distracted easier. And even by her own thoughts, she goes, but when I'm out and I'm talking, it's different. And so I just think even for this person, I think, you know, living alone and being in constant conversation is kind of a sweet spot.
Yeah. It's kind of a blessing to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. No, definitely nothing wrong with that.
You should just walk around your house talking to God and ignore your kids. I think you should try it.
I'll try. It won't go well, but I'll try. Linda, hopefully that answers your question though. Is this proper? Yes, it's totally proper, man. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it. Continue to talk to God in that way. That's great. Weekend. We're going to hop into discussing the weekend. We started a brand new collection where we are looking at snapshots from an Old Testament book. And we get to kind of look at it in a way that unpacks exactly what's going on in that moment.
Yeah.
Right. And so as we're looking at Exodus and we're looking at Moses and just the whole narrative of that, specifically around the burning bush, we looked at what God has called each one of us to. And the fears that hold us back. And I think our fears 100% hold us back. But really one of the things you said is fear is kind of the opposite of trust.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think we have such a hard time trusting?
Oh, that's a good question. I think trust is not natural in a fallen state.
Yeah.
I think pre-fall, trust was actually natural. And even to the point where, I mean, we don't know because we don't have it, but in Genesis, like the serpent talks and there's not even a freak out moment, right? Like, but I wonder if in our fallen state, the idea of going outside of myself is actually part of what is our fallen humanity. And so to go outside of myself and put that trust in you, right? Like into another human being, even that's difficult because of the potential of getting hurt, because of the potential of being let down, because mm-hmm. of whatever, right? Like it's a vulnerable state to trust. It's an acknowledgement of, I don't have it. And so I think if it's hard with a human who you can see, then to do that with a God who is unseen mm-hmm. is extremely difficult. That was another thing I heard this week was like the beauty of Jesus even acknowledging that it's hard. Like we were talking about prayer. That's where the connection is for me. But like he goes, go into your closet and God who is unseen, right? He even acknowledges like you're praying to this being that you can't see.
Right.
And the trust to do that, to take him at his word and go, I'm going to show up and I'm going to talk to you. I think it's just not natural.
Yeah.
It's a stretch for us, especially in a fallen state.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you nailed it as before the fall, it was easy to trust. Right. But, and I think for us, the more life we live, the harder it is to trust because we've been let down.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's about good. My kids, like the younger ones trust even better than the older ones because the older ones have lived a little bit of life to see that like people are not trustworthy. And man, I'm not going to give you this because I'll be let down.
Yeah.
You know, but realizing who God is the reason to trust, right? When I think it's hard to trust because we've had experiences where people have let us down. But when you realize who you're putting your trust in, that he is trustworthy, that he will never let you down, that he's the rock of ages. I mean, you go down the list of the attributes of God, and you realize that that's who it is you're putting your trust in, it makes trusting a lot easier.
Yeah, that's good. Well, and your kids, right? Like the little ones are still like, Dad's a superhero. And the older your kids get, you're like, no.
They're like,
he's getting old. He's an old superhero.
True. Totally true.
But yeah, I think, and we even referenced that this weekend, like that's where that song that we've kind of coupled with the collection of What a God, like the better we know God and see God, the easier or the more capable I am of being able to put my trust into him.
Well, this weekend you said a few things that I just want to like quote you here and unpack these quotes because I think they're so powerful. This first quote that I wrote down is God hasn't called you to control the conclusion. He's called you to control your action in stepping into what he's called you to.
Mm.
I was like, mind blown, mic drop. Like, there it is.
It's write not in this my thing notes down. Anywhere. I'm glad quote you wrote this it down. Thing.
Definitely. I mean, it's just so good. The idea, like, help me unpack this a little more. God hasn't called you to control the conclusion.
Yeah.
He's called you to control your action and stepping into what he's called you to.
Yeah, I think this grew throughout the weekend for sure. The more I talked about it, the more clear it became. But the idea for me, and if I remember correctly, it's Moses, right? Like he's got all these what ifs, and what ifs, like as it grew over the weekend, I'm like, it's really because he can't control the outcome, right? Like he wants to control this conclusion and he can't. And then it just as clear as anything, like the amount of times in my life that I don't do something that God called me to because I don't know the outcome.
Well, even if God's like prompting you, maybe, hey, go share the gospel with this person in line at Starbucks. And you're like, no, but they're going to fill in the blank, not accept it. They're going to make fun of me. They're going to ask a question I don't know the answer to. They're going to, well, that's all the conclusion that you're jumping to that you can't control, but it's not for you to control.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. My mom texted me last night and she'd watched the message from the weekend. And I didn't know this story. She went back to, she met Jesus and she was kind of in process to become a hairdresser. And what are they called now? Is this still a hairdresser? Is that politically correct?
I think so.
A stylist. There's the word.
I spend a lot of time at hairdressers? Like I didn't get the name Bald Eagle because I have wings. Like, I don't know where you're thinking I'm going.
Oh man. Super clips ain't high on your list.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, but she was saying that she met Jesus and she was on fire for Jesus and she just wanted to share Jesus with everybody, right? And felt like that's what she'd been challenged to. That's what God was calling her to. And I mean, it got to the point where her boss was like, she was 6 months away from getting her official, certificate, whatever, right? Like license. And her boss comes and goes, hey, if you keep doing this, I'm going to fire you.
Hmm.
And she's like, but I feel like God's called me to this. How can I not? And so she kept doing it and got fired. And I was just texting her back this morning going, you know, in the moment, I can't imagine the stress, knowing how my mom grew up. I can't imagine the stress of those moments and steps of faith to be faithful to share the gospel, right? Like, and yet when I see where her life went, like being a stylist was not what God was calling him to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, 35 years of missions later and whatever. And it's just a beautiful reminder this morning going, man, when it, we want to control the conclusion, right? Like, I got to get the license. I got to get it. So I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Versus going, man, God's asking me to do this. I'm going to do it and trust him with what the
conclusion is so much bigger than what she could have even imagined. But stepping in is the huge one there. And, you know, that second part that you said is he's called you to control your action.
Yep.
That's what you can control. Right? Yep. I always tell my kids, I'm like, you're not responsible for other people. You're responsible for how you respond or what you do.
Yep.
I think oftentimes we don't even take responsibility for the action of like, no, God's called me to step into it. Then I need to step into it. It's not about how it's going to end.
Yeah.
Right. You use the example of a lot of times when it's people are asked to serve in kids ministry or youth ministry or a ministry at the church that they go, but I'm not equipped enough to do this. Yeah. It's like, yeah, but we didn't call you to, God didn't call you to do that. He called you to step in.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find that with your kids too, that like they're scared to step in. They're scared to do what they should do because of the response of the other person, right? Like, or how they'll be perceived or, and so it kind of becomes this, like, I choose not to walk in obedience to what God's shown me so clearly over here, because when I got over here, all of a sudden it was like,
dude, can we just get real enough? Like, there's times in when the Holy Spirit's prompted me to say something in a sermon that I'm like, somebody might leave the church if I say this.
Yeah.
And it's like, I have a choice to control the conclusion or outcome of it or to follow the Holy Spirit and say, well, I'm going to teach this. I'm going to say this. And somebody might leave the church over it, and it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's real time. That happens. I wouldn't say every week, but more often than not, right? Like, you're there and you're in a moment where you go, okay, am I going to be faithful to what God's putting in my mouth, or am I going to be, and there's a danger to that. Like, sometimes I'm just being an idiot, right? Like, but a lot of times it's, man, I really feel like God called me to say that. And on the, I don't know for you, but the times when that happens and then somebody's upset, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And I don't know, maybe same with your kiddos, right? Like, is their conclusion always so much worse than what actually happens?
Oh yeah. I think that's human nature, right? Yeah. The world's going to blow up. If I say this, everyone's going to leave the church. Nobody's maybe one person.
They're not going to be my friend anymore if I tell them the truth. And then it actually strengthens their friendship.
Yeah. That's so good. I think we do just allow the conclusion to hold us back. God never, he's like, man, I got this.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it comes down to what we just said is the trust piece. You know, it's like, man, do you trust God enough to say, I will step into what you've called me to, and the rest is up to you.
Yeah.
That's so good. You said this on the weekend as well. I love this. And it's a two-parter, but the first part of it is your worship is a weapon. Mm-hmm. I love that, man. Talk to us more about that.
That actually comes from, I think it might be Levi Lisco. It's the idea that, like, if you're going through something and you put on worship, it transforms that moment, right? Like, you can't fully worship and still hold the fear, the anxiety, the whatever, fill in the blank, right? Like, you can't hold it and truly go, hey, God, you're my everything, right? You just can't. And so I just think that idea of it being a weapon, that the enemy's coming at you, right? Like, the enemy's got his tricks and his whatever. Well, our retaliation is that my worship, and we talked about it on here a couple of weeks ago, like, my lifestyle is a weapon.
Yeah.
When I choose to take this worship and go, hey, I'm going to put God first. And by putting God first, it puts everything second. And that's a way to go to war.
Yeah. I'm reading this book right now that's about spiritual warfare. And I love this because it's, you know, your worship is a weapon. It makes me think of the song, the line in the song that says, this is how I fight my battles.
Yeah.
Right. How often though, when we have a battle, when we have something going on, our weapon is flesh of, I need to respond this way. I need to do this. I need to take it all on.
Yeah.
And all we've done is just say a bunch of I instead of like, hey, how about we worship God? How about we use God as who he is, as the object of our worship.
Yeah.
To become the weapon to fight this situation. It's just like, it's profound when you think of it that way.
Yeah. I referenced when we were in the language school part of the training, we were helping a church while we were there. It was a startup. So they were meeting in like a gym, you know, set up, tear down, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And so they, I don't know how many elders they have, but one of the elders' families lost their son. He was 21 and lost him in a drunk driving accident. Mm-hmm. And I just will never forget their first response when they found out the news was to worship. And I just remember as a 20-year-old, I was like, I think I was 26 at the time, something like that, young dad, right? And I just remember going, man, Lord, how do you forge the faith in me that my first response is, I'm going to worship you even in what perceivably is the hardest thing people right. go through, right? Like, and in just that moment where, you know, that I, there's numbers of times of that where I've seen people put God first in the, and it doesn't have to be in song all the time, like, but to see people in tragedy go, no, I'm going to honor God even in this moment,
right.
even in the pain, and not in a religious way. Like, I don't, I've seen that too, where you're like, you don't mean this. You just think right. this is the right response versus actually seeing the guttural response of, I'm not going to give the enemy this.
Yeah.
And the way I go to war with that is I got to.
Well, and we see it all throughout scripture. Right,
yeah.
Paul and Silas in prison.
Yeah,
now, probably not a place you want to be singing, but they're worshiping. They're right, Daniel in the lion's den.
Yeah,
like you can just go through.
Yeah,
well, they're in the fire and they're literally just, hey, I'm going to choose in yeah. this moment, as bleak as this moment looks, to worship God. That becomes a weapon.
Yeah.
And the second part of that quote, if you will, that you said too, is worship is costly. It's never free. And I think that. Sometimes we romanticize, you know, like what you yeah. what you just said, like sometimes people say something and you go, yeah, you don't believe that. You're just saying it because it's the right thing.
Yeah.
But worship is costly. It's never free.
Yeah.
Unpack that a little more for us.
Yeah. It came from looking at Exodus and seeing the goal of what God was doing is that he would have a people that would worship him, right? And so kind of language that's all the way through there is, hey, let my people go so they can worship me, right? Like, and it starts kind of as this 3-day festival idea, and really it grows into, know what God's talking about is you're going to be completely free and you'll be in a lifestyle of putting me first, mm-hmm. right? Like, and so, but you look at the cost to get there, and it's just, it's Moses in his life is completely uprooted and moved, and that changes his father-in-law's life, and then Aaron shows up and Aaron's life is complete, and you just go through it. Well, and if you go even further back, it's the midwives who, you know, chose to keep him alive and yeah. chose to rebel against the empire, so to speak, and there's all these moments where you go, man, this was, and then you get to obviously the Passover, which is just such a loss of life. And you go, all of this was leading towards and part of them being able to stand someday and worship. And then you, you know, you couple that into our story and you look at what Jesus has done. And you know, I don't know how you feel, but I have good days, bad days. And sometimes I show up to worship and specifically in song, like, I don't feel like singing today.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that has to do with I'm more in my feels of the moment. And what's gone on that week, whether I'm tired, whether I'm upset, grumpy, whatever, right? Versus, man, this was purchased for me by God. What a gift to be able to sit here and go, man, you're my everything, or whatever the song is, whatever the,
yeah.
the words that go with it, or even in your job, right? Like that I could put God first in my job and have something that could be mundane be so much greater because it can be an act of worship. Well, that was costly. You didn't get to do that just because you woke up one day and went, I'm going to do this, right? Like yeah. you're built on this foundation of just extreme cost by Jesus.
Yeah, I think of worship a lot of times for me is like shedding off the things that don't matter and yeah. refocusing. So it's me laying down, like
that's
the cost for
it.
Me is it's like trimming down the things that are the branches that aren't producing fruit almost, yeah. you know, and just going like, it's laying down on myself.
Yeah.
That's the cost, is going, here's my will and my desire and what I want. And I'm shedding all of those things and laying them down so that I can worship you,
yeah.
so that it is for you. I think of it too, is not just singing, like that's one way that, you know, but lifestyle, stepping yeah. into what God has for us. This whole weekend, we talked about like Moses was called to do something for God, and he could allow his fear to get in the way and make up 1,000 excuses, or he could step in.
Yeah.
How many of us haven't laid down our own will, which would be excuses, which would be, but I don't want to give up Wednesday night because that's date night, or I don't want to give up this, or I don't want to, again, a bunch of I statements of like all the things that are holding us back. But worship is sacrificing those things that you want to put God first.
Yeah. Yeah. Football season's coming, God. Like, I don't want to sacrifice my Sunday afternoon on my porch with my new roof and my outdoor TV.
Right.
You know, I guess it is though. That's where the rubber meets the road, right?
So are you telling me I got to check the Steelers schedule to see whenever I'm preaching that weekend? If they have a 10 a.m. game, I'm probably up those weekends or
it's
what?
So good.
Oh, well, great weekend. Great time to just start a new collection. And
I will be honest. You remember last time you spoke? Remember I sent you 2 dates? And you're like, I don't care. Either one.
Either one.
And so I went to the Formula One calendar. And
there
went,
we go.
Hey, that one works. But God was out in front of me because I ended up being sick.
Oh, you remember. You were really sick that weekend.
Yeah, it was a blessing to be
out.
It's
perfect.
But it's just so funny. You're like, either one. So I'm like, when's the next race?
Well, let's see what works better. That's good. Super excited to see where we continue to go in this collection as we walk through snapshots of Exodus and what God did during that. We do have a couple more questions we're going to hop into right now. A question comes in from Tom, and Tom asks this: are we biblically obligated to leave our children an inheritance when they've essentially set us aside? He continues to kind of explain more of the situation and says, I'm struggling with maintaining grace, leading with love, and the hurt that results from being set aside after a lifetime of love, devotion, and sacrifice. So Tom being estranged from parents or from their kids, I think is not a uncommon thing. I've heard quite a few people within our church that are going through this, struggling, and I can't even understand the pain that comes with this, but also the questions that come up from it. So question that he has, are we biblically obligated to leave our children an inheritance?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I agree with you. I think it's so common nowadays. And I don't know why. I don't know what's driving it. I just hear it more and more of kids estranged. Like they just stopped. I just heard another story this past week of the kid who, trying not to give too many details, the parent, I know from just watching from the outside, has bent over backwards. Mm. And yet this young adult has chosen to, hey, I'm not talking to you anymore.
Right.
You know, and sometimes it comes with a reason and sometimes it doesn't. And I think both are equally as painful.
Yeah.
I think one of them sends you in a tailspin. I think when you don't have a reason, it can become easy to become bitter or so self-introspected that you end up going places that it was never meant to go. And so I just think it's just such a tough situation. So then you couple that with, okay, I've got hurt and I've got pain and I'm trying to navigate how do I love and how do I, and then there's this reality of end of life, right? Like that no matter how much you don't want to, there is going to be a point when you leave stuff.
Yeah.
And so with that, I think what's interesting, the biblically obligated, I would question, I can't think of anything off the top of my head from scripture that goes that you're biblically obligated to leave it to your children.
Right.
You think of anything or no?
I can't think of anything. I think that throughout scripture, we see that talked about a lot because it was the culture.
Yeah.
And so inheritance is talked about a lot.
Yeah. Like the parable that Jesus gives, right? Like, hey, give me my inheritance. Right.
Right.
Like it was.
Yeah. Inheritance was talked about a lot throughout scripture. It meant a little bit different than it means now. It's, you know, hey, when you sell your house or when house goes into the estate, then, you know, whatever. So I think it meant something different, but I don't see anywhere in scripture where it's obligated. I think more of what you see in scripture is the concept of passing your faith down, more than just passing down financial or property or anything like that.
Yeah, because I could be totally off on this, but in the context of the New Testament, you know, like you think of marriage was a sharing of the estate. not a, okay, now you got your land, you go do your, like it was, there was a connection to the Father's house, if I remember right. And so there just wasn't what we have today where just ridiculous wealth that, and so I think with that, obviously, anytime you have an abundance, there's complications that come with that. And so I think to your point, I would question maybe lean on the side of stewardship, that we are called to be stewards, that there is biblical grounds to go, God is going to hold me accountable for what I did with what he gave me, right? Like we talk about that all the time from a giving standpoint with our, you know, monthly income, right? Like that's a common conversation that we would go, no, there's a reality that I'm going to stand before the Lord and go,
yeah.
And then the reality of why did he give it, right? Like where does he want to get it to? And I think that's the same, even in death, even in inheritance, that's the same conversation. I don't think that conversation changes because of end of life. I think it's someday you'll stand before God and go, hey, what'd you do with what I gave you? You know, like, and so I think with that, then you got to be really careful, right? That the hurt that's being projected over, it sounds like years, sounds like a long time, right. Whatever hurt has been projected, that I'm not making a stewardship decision really because I'm just hurt. But I do think you have the freedom, and that goes back to even the last collection, like you have the freedom to walk with the Holy Spirit and go, what is going to be best for the kingdom of God, right? Like I was just reading the, you know, where, you know, anyone who doesn't hate their father and mother, and, you know, I was like, man,
right.
I've studied that before, but like, I'm going to refresh myself on, and it's all about putting God first.
Right.
Right. And so I think in this conversation, there's other people that don't even have a God conversation with inheritance. It's just, why wouldn't it go to my kids?
Yeah.
Right. Versus I think we're all called to sit with the Lord and go, what am I supposed to do with this? Where is this supposed to go? And again, not allowing the hurt that I have be the determiner of, well, they're out, right? Like,
yeah, but the stewardship piece you were talking about is like, man, if you know that the person you're going to give the money to is just going to go waste it,
yeah,
going to go spend absolutely. It in Vegas and it's going to be gone, or you can invest it into the kingdom,
yeah,
or invest it into something else, like that is a stewardship piece,
yeah,
which, you know, we were talking about it earlier before we started recording is I worked at a church where gifts were often given to the church of, when someone passed away, they would will their house to the church, or they would will things to the church, which is sowing into the kingdom of that. And I don't know their situation, but maybe it was a situation where it was like, man, if I do give it to my kid or I give it to somebody else, that they're going to squander it and waste it and not use it for those things. So the stewardship piece, I definitely understand there with that one. The other part of this question that, you know, isn't necessarily, it's almost the question behind the question too. Any advice for Tom, just as they are navigating, like, and how do you walk through something like this where there's just so much hurt and pain that comes from pouring into and then someone just walking away?
That's good. I mean, if you go back to even what we talked about from Linda's question, right? Like, I think you've got to be in prayer. You've got to intentionally be in conversation with God and letting him search your heart and your soul, right? And where that hurt has propensity to grow to bitterness or anger or whatever emotion goes with that. I think there is grounds to, you got to take care of your own soul with that. And then I think, man, it's such a layered question because yes, you're still got to love. Yeah. You still got to, you still got to portray the gospel that you've been given to them, right? So grace and mercy, and that doesn't mean that that's void of boundaries.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the situation, but it's okay to go, hey, we need to set a boundary because this has become toxic, right? And And hopefully that boundary is something that brings health to the relationship, and then the relationship grows from there. But I also think, you know, the danger is that, well, we're supposed to show, I'm supposed to be God to them, right? And so we continue to open ourselves up just for them to continue to hurt and really treat us in a way that God didn't intend. And I just think you have to be careful on that side too, right? Like, you got to walk with the Lord and go, okay, what's really going on in my soul?
Yeah.
And then how do I create a healthy, and if it's that that person has completely cut you off, then I think that's where prayer comes in. Cause that's an act of God. God's got to work in them.
Yeah.
And that's where you start praying for the kingdom. You start praying for all the people that God's got around them, that they'll go to a grocery store and run into a believer who will, in, you know, do something in some way that spurs a thought that, like, you just start praying for God. It doesn't matter what you do, God, would you just stir, right? Like, yeah. Would you use your people? Because clearly we're not going to be that voice. So,
yeah, that's good, man. Something I've never, hopefully never have to deal with, but obviously my kids are young, so I haven't had to. And my heart goes out to you, Tom, and thanks for submitting that question. And hopefully the answer helps a little bit with that one.
Yeah.
We do have one more question that we're going to get to here. Comes in from Monica. Monica says, how do I talk to my 5-year-old son about death? He's been asking questions, and we've talked about heaven and reassuring him that it would be a long time before this would happen to us. But this morning, his kindergarten teacher informed us that the parent of one of the students in his class passed away. I know this will bring on a lot more questions. Any help and suggestions, welcome.
Oh, man. This is why we're unedited, right?
This is why we're unedited, man.
And this is why you ask for any question. First of all, like, obviously, heart goes out to whoever the family is. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who the family is, but
she also did say that in her email, like, hey, prayers for this family and this kid and things going on.
I mean, especially if her son's 5 and it's a classmate, that means young family student. Left behind, right? Like, and that's extremely painful. And so I think, I just think on that side, just acknowledging the emotions that even, like, her son is now going to deal with. That's where the questions are coming from, is the emotions, right?
Yeah.
And he's processing life. Like, it's a natural, at 5 years old, it's a natural, you know.
There's a lot of wonderings. You're wondering about everything because everything's new.
Yeah. Well, and even if you got family pets, like for us, we've chosen a line of bulldogs, right? Like, and we were just, I mean, it sounds bad to say it in this context, but like, we were joking about how we've had 4 bulldogs in our family and there's only one left. And he was the first one we got. So all the younger ones have, for different reasons, have passed away way younger than they should have. But it's forced the conversation. Like, our kids naturally then want to know, like, what's death? What is it about? What? And it sounds like they've been having those conversations already.
Yeah.
And I just think, I don't know if you feel this way. I instantly, when you're reading it, I go, there's a check for me of reassuring him it, this isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's us trying to control the outcome. Mm. Like, you can't make that promise to him. Like, only God can make that promise, right? Like, and so just being careful that you're not setting him up for, Lord willing, nothing happens, right? But there is a danger of, you can't make that promise, right? Like, do every intention of being here. However, that's in God's hands, right? And so I think the hope of heaven, the things that are certain about heaven, that even if we were separated in this life, then eternity is forever together, right? Like, that's the hope and assurance of Jesus. And so I would lean away from the death conversations of, like, the finality of death, or the, and I would lean more on the, this is why Jesus is so important.
Yeah.
This is why Jesus makes a difference. This is why no matter what happens, we have hope, right? Like, this is why your classmate, right, the grieving that they're going through, that if for some reason you were ever in that place, our faith is in Jesus. And what that means is this.
Yeah.
And so I would maybe go that route of assurance that no matter what, this is the outcome, long range eternal.
Right. And I think that's a conversation that about death at any age, like obviously speaking to a 5-year-old is more difficult than anyone. But when I am doing memorial services for somebody who has passed away, you're having a conversation with the entire, whoever's attending this memorial service about death. That's what the whole conversation's about. But that's not what we talk about. We talk about the hope that's in Jesus, because that's what death means for us is to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so there's a different understanding of what death means when you understand who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And so the conversation about death, you're right, is not about the finality of death. It's not about darkness. It's not about all of these things. It's almost a, you know, the upside down kingdom. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Because actually the conversation about death is about the hope we have in Jesus. And that is where, what I would suggest as well is to land on. And, you know, obviously that Monica is here asking for suggestions or help in this is, you know, I would not shy away from those questions. Don't sweep them under the rug. I think that's a tendency we have with any difficult question that our kids ask, whether it be about babies or whether it be about death. It's like, well, let's just talk about that later.
Yeah.
I think you can't do that. You have to talk about it. But I would suggest the conversation goes to the hope we have in Jesus.
Yeah. I love the ongoing conversation thing. Just this past week, one of the high schoolers passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And Bailey, I sat with Bailey, I think it was the next day. And I was just asking her, like I always do, like, hey, how are your friends? What's been going on in their world? What's going on in yours? And she referenced, I think it was three of her friends. She's like, I went over and one of them was crying and the mood was just not the normal. And instantly she was thrown into these girls because of the Mormon connection. These girls knew Owen. And so one of them had talked to him like recently, like even, maybe even the day before. So it was like very, very close. And so I just asked Bailey, I'm like, well, what did you do? And she's like, I didn't know what to do. And so we had this great conversation about how to respond to moments where people are going through loss. Yeah. And so that may, I hadn't thought about that, but that may even be for your son to help him not put his eyes on himself. Is because if he goes to himself, there's a danger of it. He just spins, right? But also, like, this is a moment where, yes, it's a tragedy, but he can be a part of loving this other kid, right? Like, so you can take death and make it proactive to building the kingdom and the message of Jesus and the hope that he has transferring that.
Yeah. Boom. That's a good word. Monica, hopefully that helps. I know it's difficult, but hopefully that helps with that conversation that you're having. And, thanks for wading into those conversations with your kid even.
I love how real the questions are today.
It's awesome. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. If you have a question that you would like for us to answer on the show, you can email us unedited@heightschurch.com. Like I said, we'd love to keep those going because we don't have too many in the queue and your questions make the show. So please go ahead and send that. If you have made it this far, you are part of an exclusive club called the End of the Podcast Club. And we are so grateful for you, not just because you...
I love how the beard smiles still.
I know, he's
still makes him giggle over still, there. I love it.
Still gets a nice little giggle out of him. No, that's exciting. That's good stuff.
Either that or he's just wondering, when are we going to be done with that? When do we kill it? When does the sound become something new?
Well, we kept it the entire time you were gone with the button. I know. So... You know,
you guys rocked it for a long time.
May never end. That's good stuff.
It's there. Smash that like button.
Well, into the podcast clubbers, you guys are awesome. We love you more than the rest of the listeners because you've made it this far. Please subscribe, rate, review, and share this with somebody that you know that hopefully it could help. Again, if you have questions, submit them. But final thought for you today is this, is God has called you to step into something not to control the conclusion of that thing that you're stepping into. Take that step of faith. What faith is trusting God, and faith and trust is the opposite of fear. Don't let your fear control you, but step into what God has for you. Love you guys.
So good. Love you.